This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Colin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Colin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I'm your host for the first hour. A lot to cover in just this week with an ECB meeting, some news out of the UK, and again, everybody just looking forward to what the Fed is going to do next week. Plus, we did have some pretty major earnings reports out of some of these tech companies, and don't forget the Department of Justice is shining a bit more of a skeptical light on some of these major tech players. We're going to try to get to all of these news events and market moves, but first and foremost, I am chatting with Mark Chandler. He is managing partner over at Bannockburn Global Forex. Also writes the Mark to Market blog, which I visit on pretty much a daily basis. Mark, let's start over in Europe with the comments that came out of Draghi and the ECB. They didn't cut rates or even implement a QE program, which some people were thinking they might, but it was, I think we can classify it, a pretty dovish hold, as everybody, including I think Draghi, is expecting rate cuts and a QE program probably by the end of the year. What was your takeaway from what came out of Draghi and the ECB statement?
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think that Draghi was dovish. He basically told us that he had this phrase that I think is going to come back and people are going to use a lot. He said this: the outlook is getting worse and worse. And so with that, of course, but they didn't do anything. And so I think that just like sets them up to do a multi-step move in September. So that would include a deposit rate cut going from minus 40 basis points to minus 50. They'll probably resume some kind of resumption of asset purchases. What's interesting is it's actually what they're going to buy. If they want to buy sovereign bonds, they have to change some of their own rules of like position limits. Right now, say a third of a country's outstanding debt. But there's some talk and some like op-ed writers talking about they should buy equities. That's going to help Japan very much. And some of the people think that maybe they can spread it out and instead of just buying corporate bonds, buy bank bonds, which would obviously have more direct impact on the financial sector. So Draghi, dovish, but I think the market had a lot of gyrations around it. Often we get the most volatile day of the month or the six-week period, often when Draghi speaks. No disappointment there this week. But at the same time, we're in this range. We couldn't get it. When the euro rallied, we stopped around 111.80. We needed to get above 112 to be anything important. And on the downside, support, basically, we made a marginal new low for the year. We're holding above 111. And so I think the currency, the dollar, is broadly at a number of different key levels, but 111 in the euro is key. We're finishing the week just above it, around 111.25 30. But if we don't get above 112, I think that just the cost of being long the euro against the U.S. dollar just wears on you if you don't get any movement. And volatility is still stuck at multi-year lows.
Well, we will get a little bit more into the currency moves, but I want to just get you to elaborate a little bit more on the options or the road that the ECB could go down depending on what assets they could buy. They already very much control the bond market, but you said some of these other areas. They could be buying equities. They could be buying bank bonds. Does it really matter if they do change their policy and start buying some of these other assets?
I think it'll change how the market sees it and how the markets respond. But in terms of the economy, I'm not really convinced that that this is really the magic like potion. The problem is that you're, from a central bank policymaking point of view, the problem is this: you want to have easier monetary conditions, but you got rates below zero, so you have to cut rates further. And it's sort of like unsure of the longer term implications of that. And so this talk that what Draghi suggested as well is that the ECB might take mitigating steps. such as it was called tiering, and that really refers to not all of the deposits that the ECB would be charged minus 50 basis points or minus 40 basis points. It'd be some deposits might not get any negative rate. And so it's to basically allow banks who are getting this the rate that they can borrow money, the rate they can deposit money at the ECB, that net interest income is really working against them. And so in some ways, having a tiering program is both an admission that rates are going to stay negative for a long time.
Well, and it's also very much a change in the way that the central banks have been functioning and markets have been functioning too, right? We get into this tiering program and saying this gets paid this, this gets yielding that. That's a pretty drastic change from normal market moves for more normal market setups from what we've seen throughout history.
Yeah, no, I would say that it's really what we're talking about is how much of the deposits at a central bank that has negative interest rates are covered by and have to pay this negative rate. Most countries that have these negative rates also have a less coverage of the negative rate. So, for example, not all deposits in Japan get charged minus 10 basis points. Only deposits, I think, of banks over a certain size get the big Swiss haircut. So, in some ways, I'd say this precedent, the ECB is not being a pioneer in this, but at the same time, I agree with you that this is sort of like we've gone through the Alice in Wonderland's looking glass, and we're in a strange new world where I think I saw the whole Swiss curve up to 30 years below zero this week. So, like, I think the 2-year yield is minus 125 basis points. We're in this bizarro world for those of us who, like, had experience before the great financial crisis.
Yeah, boy, it's such a weird financial world that we're living in right now. Let's move back over to the U.S. We got that GDP Q2 number, and it kind of surprised to the upside, 2.1%. This was led by government and personal spending on durable goods. There is still this trade issue, generally, that is weighing on more GDP growth. But overall, a slight surprise to the upside. What was your takeaway from the Q2 number?
Yeah, no, I focus the same thing on the we call final domestic demand, say exclude trade and inventories, a strong number. But the headline number, forgetting all the what economists do to massage the number, but just the headline number, 2.1%, better than the market expected. And remember, this has happened in Q1 as well. So I think that and the other point I'd make about this 2.1% is it sounds like the slowdown. So two things. One is that this time consumption was much stronger. Put this in perspective for you. In the first quarter, U.S. consumption, the GDP measure of it, rose 1.1% at an annualized pace. This time, 4.3%. The U.S. economy, the consumer, helped by a strong labor market, remains very healthy. And the second thing I'd point out about this 2.1% growth is that it's above trend. And by trend, I mean the long-term level that most of the Federal Reserve thinks is what can be achieved without inflation. That is, when you've got your factors of production working their capacity. What could the economy grow? They think about 1.8, 1.9%. So here we have the first half of the year above trend growth. So it's 3.1 and 2.1. So you have decent growth, 2.6% average here the first half, and yet the market is confident that the Federal Reserve is going to cut rates anyways next week.
All right, Mark, we unfortunately are out of time for this segment on the radio, but you and I are going to continue this conversation. We're going to dive into some of that recent U.S. economic data, and also I think we have to look ahead to that Fed meeting for next week, as well as get into the currency moves, especially in that U.S. dollar that continues to trend higher. For anyone who wants to listen to the full interview, please visit kereport.com and click on the weekend show posting. Everyone, I'm going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNlife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNlife.com.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hey everyone, Proactive MD has an incredible offer for our radio listeners only. Stay tuned for our exclusive offer that includes a free charcoal pore cleansing brush and free shipping. Proactive MD with prescription strength adapalene can heal and prevent future breakouts. Today, for just $19.95, we're offering listeners the three-piece Proactive MD system with free shipping, plus a free gift, the new charcoal pore cleansing brush. Get this exclusive offer by calling now, 1-800-583-8662, or go to proactive.com. And enter promo code radio. You heard right. Proactive MD plus free shipping and a free gift. The new charcoal pore cleansing brush. You'll get all this for just $19.95 and their 60-day money-back guarantee. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now. 1-800-583-8662. That's 1-800-583-8662. Or go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio. Again, go to proactive.com and enter promo code radio.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing on with the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed that conversation with Mark Chandler, recapping just all the news that we have behind us from this week and also looking ahead. In this segment, I am chatting with Chris Temple, founder and editor of The National Investor. And Chris, just a quick comment from you regarding this Q2 GDP number from the U.S. What stood out to you? What surprised you? Do you think it changes anything as we look ahead to the overall economic growth or economic stability in the U.S.?
Well, I think the only thing that it may change somewhat, Corey, is that the dissenters on the Fed this next week who don't think the central bank should be raising interest rate, or I'm sorry, lowering interest rates at all right now, their hand was just strengthened. You know, government spending was a big component of this. You know, Donald Trump is putting out new hats, make debt great again. He made this deal with Congress. It has a lot of conservatives very upset where they're going to bust the budget some more. So government spending is always going to be supportive. The consumers were the heroes, as White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow said on Friday. Consumer spending stays very strong. It was up more than expected. Prices, in most respects, were still fairly strong. Not quite what the Fed wants. But if you look at all of those things, the only weak part of the report that argues in any way, shape, or form for a rate cut, if that's what you're of a mind to do, is business spending. And business spending remains weak for a variety of reasons. A lot of it is glut. A lot of that is influenced by energy, where Helmerich & Payne, the biggest onshore drilling contractor in the oil patch in the United States, came out with a horrid report this last week talking about how many rigs it has that are idle, and I think a 10% decline year over year in its activity in the U.S. because you've got too much of a glut. So you've got the glut in energy acutely. You've got gluts and overcapacity elsewhere specifically. And look, sometimes businesses don't spend at a breakneck pace quarter over quarter. So you've got that influence. You've got, to be sure, you've got trade uncertainty. And the idea that after the market has already knocked interest rates down 100 basis points or so, give or take, across the yield curve, the idea that the Fed, by officially lowering them a little bit, is going to change that at all. You know, the Fed lowering interest rates 25 basis points is all of a sudden going to make XYZ company not care about trade uncertainty and go out and spend money. It's asinine on its face. But these people don't know what else to do. So they'll whip most of the dissenters into line this next week. But again, this is just another example of why interest rates in the U.S. at least are in positive territory, why the U.S. dollar index, despite a rate cut that's coming, is now near its high for this move, and it's going to go higher, most likely. It's because you've got such a big difference in fundamentals between the U.S. and elsewhere.
Yeah, so true. With that dollar, too, above that 98 level and looking very near at that most recent high, the dollar continues to move higher. And this is something that Trump has been on record as not liking. He keeps pushing on the Fed to get the dollar lower, and he tweets out that he wants a lower dollar. But something you brought up to me that I didn't even have the chance to talk about last segment with Mark is the fact of this meeting that happened at the White House between Peter Navarro and Trump. Really with the focus of lowering the U.S. dollar. What details can you share with us?
Well, this came out, it was, what would otherwise have been, Corey, a boring midsummer, late Friday afternoon when everybody's got one foot out the door. All of a sudden, this news, I don't want to say it breaks because this meeting in the White House actually happened Tuesday, but certain people leaked out news of it on Friday. First of all, it was Larry Kudlow, who I just mentioned in the morning, who was talking about a lot of different things about the economy. And I don't know if it was that he was addressing a rumor or himself released this or let it slip that they had had this meeting on Tuesday. But he came out and said that as of now, there are no plans on the part of the administration to try and intervene to knock down the value of the dollar. Now, I have pointed out since before Trump was inaugurated, after he was elected, that a lot of people who describe him as a populist, that's not a complete explanation of his policies. When it comes to business, he is a mercantilist. Look it up. I've explained it numerous times before with you on this show. A mercantilist is single-mindedly wanting to try and gain export advantage, not so much to benefit the people, but to benefit the companies, all right? So Trump, unlike any other president that we've seen in modern times, is not one that is always out there with the canned, you know, strong dollars in the best interests of the U.S. and blah, blah, blah. And he instead is trying to claim, and I believe largely incorrectly, that when it comes to Europe or when it comes to China, they may be manipulating their currencies for unfair advantage. And why aren't we doing the same thing? All right, it's way more complicated than that. I've explained many times before that even though President Trump, in my view, has got good instincts in many ways, he has broad understandings of issues. He has a broad understanding that for a very long time, this country has indeed been gamed by certain of our trading partners, most especially China. When it comes to understanding the currency differentials and other parts of that, though, he has very little understanding, seemingly, of what it means when you have the world's reserve currency. And by definition, you must run trade imbalances with the rest of the world. That's how they accumulate dollars in the first place. You know, someone needs to call him on his glaring contradiction that if you say out of one side of your mouth that the U.S. has got the greatest economy in all of recorded history and you can go back millennia and whatnot and no one's better and I'm the best, fine. Then a strong currency comes with that. As I explained to you a minute ago, that's why the dollar index is over 98, even in advance of what's likely to be a quarter point rate cut by the Fed this week. It's that we're still doing so much better in relative terms than the rest of the world when it comes to economic growth, our markets, and the rest of it. So, you know, the idea that Peter Navarro, who is one of the closest confidants the president has had from day one on China, is in the White House talking about everything from capital controls to jawboning and whatnot. You know, that's an attention getter. It didn't impact the markets at the end of the day on Friday. Nothing much changed.
Hey, Chris, good chatting with you. Always interesting to recap the markets from this week, especially when we have that much news and some general concepts on what we are looking forward to for next week. Chris, thanks for your time this weekend. Everyone, stick around. I'm going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow, I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go. Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. Turning 40, I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
The Supreme Court has given the go-ahead for work to begin on several sections of the southern border wall. A 5-4 vote by the conservative majority high court gave the president a win by letting his administration redirect $2.5 billion in money approved by Congress to help build his promised wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. The U.S. and Guatemala have come to terms on a so-called third country agreement restricting asylum applications filed by Central Americans. President Trump applauding to what amounts to a concession. Acting Homeland Security Secretary Kevin McAleenan says,
if you have a Honduran family or an El Salvadoran national, instead of having them pay a smuggler, come all the way to our border to seek asylum, when they arrive in Guatemala, they're in a country that has a fair proceeding for assessing asylum claims.
This is USA Radio News.
It is a horrible scenario, but it happens. Dennis writes about his wife. She was diagnosed with leukemia. In fact, she's a two-time survivor. And in the midst of all that, they ran up over $1 million in medical bills. Thankfully, they're Medishare members. And Dennis says they are so thankful for that, how others came together to meet their needs. And that's how so many Medishare members feel. This is not health insurance. It's different. You don't have to pay for things you don't believe in. And like Dennis found out, it just works. So if you join Medishare, not only do you save a lot of money, the typical family saves about $500 a month, but you know where your money's going each month. You're helping people. And if the time should come, they'll be helping and even praying for you. So yes, it's different. And as more than 400,000 people now know, when it comes to healthcare costs, different is beautiful. Find out more. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped 1 million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment and in the next segment, so the final two segments of this first hour, we are going to be focusing a little more on the precious metals, only because really we spent a bit of time in those first two segments recapping that ECB news and continuing to look ahead to what the Fed might do. I am chatting with Richard Postma, a.k.a. Doc. And Doc, let's talk about the gold market first. We have gold continuing to, I guess, trade in this slightly higher range. It's trading between just under 1,400 the whole way up to about 1,450, but it seems to be right around this 1,420 level as a key sticking point. And as you and I are recording this about halfway through the day on Friday, that's exactly where we are right now, at about 1,420. Let's get your thoughts, Doc, on how after the breakout in gold has been able to settle in this higher trading range and continues to fight back and forth with this 1,420 level.
Yeah, Corey, I think we're going to be hanging around here for a while. And I think we're getting into the pause that refreshes type of mode. And I've talked about a left-translated cycle that we may be forming, and we continue to do that up here. And the longer we stay up here, the most likely that's what's going to occur, and we're going to eventually then move back down. And it's a question how far we move back down. I'm afraid that the Fed meeting might be the impetus to start to have gold move down, because everybody is now looking at a potential 25% versus a 50% move in the Fed fund rate, or a 50 basis versus 25, and that's based on the GDP report that came out. But and I think a lot of these stocks will get into a corrective mood, but I don't see a big pressure down on either the precious metals or the stocks. And for the first time, I think we're going to be able to buy on a dip of a market that is in the beginning stages of moving up versus when I used to encourage people to buy dips when it was moving down. So this is going to be a long process up, just like we had a long process in that U-shape recovery that we predicted years ago. And so this is going to take time because of the type of economy we are in globally and in this country, where it can't get any traction, essentially. And it looks good for a minute, and the next minute it looks bad. And so we're up and down, and so that's going to impact precious metals, too, where they just don't take off. I don't feel, and I've said that before, I don't think we're just going to move up in a straight line in this thing. It's going to be long, halting step processes here.
And you know what? That can be encouraging, though. That means more of a longer-term bull market. Yeah, it might not be as exciting as the run that, let's say, Bitcoin goes on, but you know what? It can be a longer bull market. But you did outline a couple factors there that I think are important for investors to understand, and that is, first of all, just the general aspect of what's going on around the world, and that's slow global growth. And let's talk quickly about that GDP number, the Q2 GDP. It did surprise to the upside, 2.1%. I've talked about it in a couple of the prior interviews on this weekend show, but you know what? Exports still fell by over 5%, which is all about global trade. And the consumer was actually a nice push to driving GDP higher, as well as the government. What was your general takeaway from the GDP number for Q2 that, again, did surprise to the upside?
Well, it was good to see the consumer purchasing like they did, and the question is, will that continue? A little disconcerting is how much the government spending is propping up the GDP, and I think you can count on that in the future because recently, I believe Mnuchin and Pelosi were both talking together about not even having a debt ceiling anymore. Well, they've kind of thrown that out, I think, for public consumption, because I think we're getting to the point where that may eventually happen, because obviously all they do is every time it comes around the ceiling, they have to vote a new ceiling. So I think they're starting to realize that's going to be habitual in the future. So why not even have one? Well, that tells you we're getting to the point where we're just going to be printing money like crazy going forward. We think we've seen a lot of it printed in the past. I think it's going to be nothing compared to the future to keep this economy going. And the only way you're going to keep this economy going is by printing money, essentially, and keeping interest rates at levels we haven't ever seen in the history of this country. And we keep stealing from the future by doing this. So essentially, I don't think we're ever going to catch up, Corey. And that's why I'm so positive now, as far as gold is concerned.
Well, it's one of the fundamental drivers is lower rates, lower yields help the precious metals, because the argument always is gold doesn't yield anything. But if you have negative yielding instruments, then you know what? Yielding nothing can actually look better. I do want you to compare one other market to how the precious metals have been holding up, and that is the U.S. dollar. The U.S. dollar still in an uptrend right around that 98 level, looking very closely to putting in another higher high, but the momentum has definitely waned. However, there's no denying that gold has done well even in the face of a dollar that isn't collapsing. It's actually still in a rising channel. What do you think here about how gold has really shaken off any dollar strength?
I think that speaks to how strong gold is underneath the surface. The fact that we've almost seen a year and a half of dollar strength, although it's been a very plodding strength up. And I think, frankly, that's going to continue. I don't see any evidence on my charts, especially long-term charts, at this point for the dollar to significantly break out of its previous high where it was back in 2017 in the first part of it. So if it's just barely moving up over time, I think that's also positive for gold, because I think gold will continue its position it's currently in, and over time we'll be going higher now. And just imagine eventually when the dollar has a move down, Corey, what that will do to gold, and that is going to come. It's only a matter of time now, because the charts do not show, like I said, any significant move up in the dollar to take out the previous high.
Yeah, okay. I just find it curious, too, that we heard from the ECB this week, and they are on pause, although I think everyone's expecting them to cut rates and maybe even institute a QE program coming up shortly. And the Fed, it seems like, are going to be cutting rates next week, and the dollar still continues to move higher. So I think that does also show just the general weakness in Europe. Okay, so trading in a bit more of a bull market strategy, but still taking that same mentality of buying on the dips. However, now, finally, the market is moving in a little bit more of a positive direction rather than that constant sideways to down we kept hearing about.
And a couple other comments, Corey. What I'm finding is that on the weekly charts, we're starting to have actually a lot of the 50-week moving averages starting to move up. And I have a feeling that they're going to be very supportive for a lot of these stocks. The other thing, if you'll notice, that a lot of these stocks that have had a move have not yet broken out of their trading ranges on the monthly charts. And once that starts, you better be in these things, because that's when we're going to see a lot of movement.
All right, Doc. We're going to wrap it up there. Good chatting with you, though. Always great having you on the show. And I hope that all the listeners that tune in just to the weekend show, Doc and I do chat during the week, so it is worth your time to check out some of the comments that we're making on a somewhat daily basis. Doc, great chatting with you. Have a great rest of your weekend.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNlife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what Dr. Joe has to say.
As you know, I'm one of the doctors that Don talks about, because 4 years ago, I was diagnosed with high blood pressure. Runs in my family on the mother's side. You know, I come from an athletic background. You know, I did a lot of running throughout my life, and I did triathlons. When I was trying to run some years back, I was getting short of breath, which is a little bit of a congestive heart failure. The Extendivite, that shortness of breath and that coughing started going away, and I was able to run longer and longer distances. And it took a while, though. So now I'm able to do, you know, 3.5 miles with my dog, and no problem. I don't stop. Not anymore. So I'm just saying, you need to stick with the program, and you've got to change some lifestyle things, too.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. danpilla.com.
If you are trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem, and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-506-6740. 800-506-6740. That's 800-506-6740.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product. Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
All right, welcome back here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. What I want to do in this segment is replay a segment from earlier in the week with our good friend David Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Minor Junkie. David and I talk a lot about the precious metal sector, but more importantly, at the end of the interview, David does have a special offer for all of our listeners. If you want him to quickly look over your portfolio or any particular stocks that you think might unfortunately be dogs and you should maybe rotate them out, David can't give specific investment advice, but all the emails that I received already, I have forwarded on to David, and he does at least break down some of his thoughts on those companies that all of you have already asked about. So I'm just giving any of you who missed that first offer another chance here to listen to the interview and even send me an email with any stocks you want David's quick comments on. I hope you all enjoy this wrap-up of the first hour, and please, everyone, keep in touch. Have a great rest of your weekend. My email address is fleck@kereport.com. Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with David Erfley, founder and editor of the Junior Miner Junkie. And David, let's take a high-level look at the precious metals sector in particular, and now how a lot of things have started to line up that really, in my eyes at least, confirm this bull market in the precious metals. We had gold that started to move, and this was without anything really following it or even the dollar breaking down. Gold started to break out, and when it broke out, we started to see the majors get some buys coming in. Money was flowing into the majors, and then just last week, one of the key aspects, I think, that really came out of the blue without any sort of news event or other markets either falling off or breaking out besides gold in those majors, we started to see silver move higher and put in a very nice week and trade at the highest level it had all year. And now we're even starting to see the juniors start to move. You and I were talking about a company off mic that honestly we don't like, so I'm not going to bring it up here, but they just increased the size of their financing, which is just another sign for me that this is kind of the process of how a bull market gets started, and now everything is starting to line up when you look just at the precious metals for money to continue to flow in. Please explain to us your thoughts on this general process and now how we seem to finally be in it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you did a great job of pretty much summing it up already. You know, we've had before last week, we had the miners leading gold. And then once silver joined in the minors leading gold. Now this week we've got the juniors, which I feel the higher risk juniors are more synonymous with the silver price, even though most of them are looking for gold, because that's the higher risk play, and silver is the higher risk precious metal play also. So once the silver market gets going, that's when the juniors really start to get going. And I think the main reason why silver started to get going last week was that gold silver ratio, like we discussed last Tuesday. It got to 96. And when you have gold building continuing to build a base at 1375 to 1400 here, you've got other players looking around for deals. And the biggest deal out there was silver. And not only silver, but silver juniors, which really began to take off last week. But as we also discussed last week, the silver miners and some of the silver juniors began to move up with the gold miners last month. So all the planets are aligned here for a full-fledged bull market in gold. I would like to see that gold silver ratio get down below 80. I think once it does, that's when you'll see the last piece of the puzzle for this bull market.
Well, that's fair, but I think either way, at least we are seeing that gold-silver ratio move in the right direction now, rather than gold just continued outperform and silver do nothing. But one thing from a technical standpoint, you look at the daily and even weekly charts for whether you go to gold, silver, GDX, GDXJ, they are either in overbought territory or just perking their heads into overbought territory. I know some people say that means that it's a good time to maybe lighten up on some of your positions, but the fact of the matter is it's been so long since some of these markets have been overbought that when you are finally in a bull market, especially an early stage or even late stage bull market, these sectors can hold in overbought territory for quite a while. How do you balance out the fact that it is overbought, but also thinking that we are early stage bull market here?
Well, Corey, I firmly believe we're in something that I like to call old turkey time right now. I'm a big Jesse Livermore fan, and Reminiscences of a Stock Operator is one of my favorite books. And there's a character in that book called Old Turkey who was a stockbroker and said that basically that it's a bull market now, so be right and sit tight. You know, I've worked so hard over the past few years building a portfolio of what I feel is the best junior companies to ride this bull market in. Will I be taking some profit on the way up? Absolutely. But I think it's a bit too early to start taking a lot of profit here. This market has a long way to run. And I think the miners and now silver and now the juniors, they're starting to point to the gold price moving up to that 1500 to 1550 area, which is where it broke down in 2013, which ushered in the bear market. So I think that's when we're going to get that correction. But once we get that correction, there's still a lot of money on the sidelines, Corey, that won in, that are waiting for a correction to get in, especially since this is still the summer holidays here, and a lot of these fund managers and big money players who missed this move and are on vacation, they're gonna want to get in once they come back.
Now, what about even those retail players that think that they have a good portfolio, but you know what, quite frankly, are probably looking to some other companies and saying, man, those ones already started to move, and I do see those ones as having some very good fundamental characteristics, and man, that does almost look better than some of the stocks I'm holding. What would you tell to them in terms of portfolio management? Still sit tight, or is now still a good time to make some adjustments even into those stocks that started to move early?
Yeah, well, you know, the time to make those adjustments was when the sector was building a base. But I understand that a lot of retail players that have kind of missed this move, or maybe are stuck with some companies that have that still really haven't moved yet, or they're thinking maybe that they won't move and they should get into something else. I tell you what, if there's any of your listeners out there that want me to take a look at their stocks, I can. I'm not a stockbroker. I can't give you investment advice, but if anybody wants to send me an email, I can give you my opinions on the companies you're holding that you're thinking of getting rid of if you think they might not move much, or if you think that you should be chasing something that you think has already moved. You know, that's not a very good idea yet either, because the sector is very overbought here, and there will be a correction coming pretty soon. And then once that correction happens, then maybe it'll be a good time to scale into a few things.
Okay, well, hey, David, that's a very nice offer, and if anybody wants to take David up on that offer, send me an email, fleck@kereport.com, and I will forward your contact info. It's, I think, a good time it's always a good time to reanalyze your portfolio, but especially at what looks like the early stages of a bull market here. I also want to talk about the M&A activity in the sector. There's one company, Alexandria Minerals, that we used to cover a few years ago that, unfortunately, the management team just did a horrible job of running that company, but they brought in new management. The share price really did suffer, but there was an ongoing bidding war for their project, and that was the first bidding war I think we've seen in this sector ever since that bull market ended, quite honestly. What do you think about the M&A activity? It's still not booming, but we did see our first bidding war.
Yes, and I wrote about that bidding war in my column a few weeks ago. It goes back to a lot of these players being on vacation here, Corey. You know, I don't think anything's going to really start to happen until late August, early September, as far as the M&A front is concerned. I just think it's laying in the weeds, and it's a great time to take a look at some of these companies that are still very undervalued that you think may be acquired within the next 12 to 18 months by a major.
Okay. Hey, that's fair. Always looking for those leverage plays and, well, some of those ones that haven't yet moved or moved to the degree that some of these other stocks have. David, good chatting with you. Everyone, remember, if you want to take David up on that offer to take a look over your portfolio, send me an email, fleck@kereport.com, and I will forward your contact info over to David. Thanks for your time today, Dave.
Anytime, Corey. Thanks.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
I'm Holly Thomas, Group Vice President of Cause Marketing for Macy's. Every baby deserves the best possible start, but not all babies get one. March of Dimes is changing that. You can help us lead the fight for the health of all moms and babies. Join me and Macy's to March for Babies. Let's raise funds and be champions for families near and far. Together, we are building a brighter future. Sign up for Macy's team today at marchforbabies.org.